You are listening to Bible Direction for Life, the sermon podcast of Westside Baptist Church in Bremerton, Washington. We pray that the preaching and teaching you hear on this podcast connects the truth of the Bible to your life, that you would learn more about the triune God who made you and what he made you for. This Sunday, missionary Stephen Myers preached to us a message from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 17, entitled, From Death to Life.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, that we can study it for ourselves. We can read it in our language. We can look at it and read it and understand it and apply it to our lives. God, thank you for Westside Baptist. Thank you for this church that's honoring you, serving you, and wanting to see the next generation equipped with God's word. I pray your blessing over them, for the leaders, and for everyone involved, seeing this body, this local body of believers, living in honor and glory to you. I pray for this morning as I share, I pray you give me clarity of mind, give me words to say. As I communicate these truths from your word, help us to be attentive to your word and to just see how we can apply this to our lives, how we can change our thinking and be reminded of all these truths we have in the gospel. God, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for loving us. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And as you turn there, I just want to give a little bit of explanation of the context to Romans 5, what's happening prior to this. Paul, he's writing to believers in Rome. This is a letter. And one of the reasons Paul wrote this letter was to give a complete, thorough explanation of the gospel. The book as a whole is a detailed breakdown of the gospel. It starts in the beginning by talking about that we're all sinners. We all fall short, right? No one is righteous. Jew or Gentile, we're all alike. We all deserve God's judgment. After that point, he moves on to share about the good news we have in Christ. This good news, the salvation that we've received, and how to receive it. He spends a few chapters talking about the gospel in relation to the believer and the role of sanctification in our lives, right? And then in chapters 9 through 11, Paul takes some time to talk about God's sovereignty and his plan for Israel. He finishes the letter by giving the church some instructions, some commands in light of the gospel. So after he takes the time to explain the gospel, he says, this is how you are to live. All right, so that's just a quick overview of the book of Romans, some things he hits on. But today we're going to be looking at a small section in chapter 5. And this is where Paul is wrapping up his explanation of God's righteousness being provided for us in Christ. So you can follow along in your Bibles as I read Romans 5, 12 through 21. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many may be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, so I'm just going to go through the verses and comment a little bit of what Paul's talking about here and what he's referring to, and we're going to start in verse 12. Verse 12 talks about sin coming into the world through one man. That is, of course, a reference to Adam, right? Back in Genesis 3, the fall, Adam and Eve, they get this one command from God not to eat from the fruit of this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet they are tempted by the serpent, they disobey God, and they eat. That's how the curse of sin started, the very first act of human disobedience. That's how sin came into the world. And verse 12 continues and says that death came by sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. God told Adam and Eve in Genesis that they would surely die if they ate the fruit. And God wasn't lying. They did die. He warned them of this. And sin always produces death. Death is a consequence for our sin. That perfect life that Adam and Eve were living in the garden was no more. That there's a separation now from that. Adam and Eve would physically die for their sin later on, but there's also this spiritual death that took place. There's a separation, a barrier between them and God that wasn't there before. They aren't going to be walking in the garden with God anymore. They're spiritually dead. And a life of hardship came to them, and they experienced a broken world for the first time. But it didn't just affect them, did it? It affected all of us. It says death spread to all men. All people are now under this curse of sin. We as humans, as descendants of Adam, we are in Adam. We're in his line. And because this happened to Adam, it happened to all of us as well, because we are in Adam. Not only are we born into a broken world, but we are born broken with a sinful condition. We're spiritually dead too. Our hearts are not set on following God. We have a flesh that's bent on choosing our way over God's way. And so Adam's sin, it's been passed down to every child, every grandchild, all the way down to us. That includes all of us. Adam was our forefather. He was the first human being. He was like our representative, and he failed. And Adam, he's like a picture of the whole human race, right? And we would have done the same thing. If we were there, we would have eaten the fruit too. So Adam represents the whole human race, and so God passes Adam's error onto all of us as well. Now look at verse 13. Remember, it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." So it says sin was in the world before the law. God's law given to Moses, right, in Israel, was in the book of Exodus. But you can look back at the book of Genesis and see all these stories of people and their sin, right? It starts with Cain. And then there's the people during the time of Noah and their sin. The Tower of Babel, and Abraham, and all of his kids' stories. Those accounts show us that sin was evident in the lives of Adam's descendants even before the law was given. It's obvious that sin was happening. But then it says, sin is not imputed where there is no law. It was not counted towards their account, in a sense. I think Romans 12:12 through 16 explains this well. It says, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the laws of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So every person will be judged for their sin, whether they knew God's law or they didn't. Those without God's law still know God's universal moral law, right? We can see it in his creation. We can see it in our conscience. He's written it on our hearts, as it says. We all know it's wrong when we sin. There's no excuse. But God will judge people according to the standard they had. Those who know God's law and break it will be held more accountable than those who never knew God's law. And so if we go back to Romans 5, continue in our passage, we'll see that God did judge those before the law was given. Verse 14, it says, "Death, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." When it says the similitude, those that had not sinned like Adam, I believe he's still referring to people who sin without God's law. Adam was given this clear, audible instruction from God, do not eat the fruit, but he disobeyed. Paul's making the point that even though these people didn't have God's law, they didn't have God's clear, audible instruction in the same way Adam did, they too experienced death. It says death reigned. Paul makes it clear that people were dying and being judged for their sin even before the law. They couldn't escape the reality of death. Death was triumphant over people in Adam. Death has a victory over everyone in Adam, and death always follows sin. And we can read about that in Genesis 2, people dying. We don't just see their sin, but we see death coming to them as well. All of Adam's descendants are in sin and will face death. We mentioned to you guys earlier that in our ministry, we want to focus on the key stories in the Old Testament while we're sharing with the people. And these verses, they just affirm in my mind that people won't be convinced of their need of a Savior till they see their own sin, till they see that they are in Adam. And so when we teach the Old Testament to the people, we want to build a firm foundation that builds on these themes and principles in the Old Testament complement the New Testament, complement the gospel, and make the gospel make so much more sense. We'll start by explaining the creation account and the fall, but then we'll continue through the Old Testament and show these key themes, these stories in the Old Testament. One theme that we see in the Old Testament is an animal or blood being shed to cover sin. We see it in the fall. God provides this animal, these skins to cover up Adam and Eve, right? Blood was shed. This partial covering was made on their behalf. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. We see it in Abel's offering, right? He offers an animal as a sacrifice. We see it in the ram being provided for Isaac. And of course, in the sacrificial system for Israel. This is another key theme that will make the cross and Jesus' death make so much sense. Another theme we want to teach on is how man must come to God God's way. We can't obey or be right with God unless we listen to his instructions. So there's a lot of Old Testament stories that talk about that theme. There's Cain and Abel, right? One came to God God's way, one came to him his way. There's the story of the flood. The people were sinning and they were going to be judged, and God says this is the one way to escape, through the ark. This was God's way. And then that theme is repeated throughout the Old Testament, but it's so true when it comes to the gospel. There's only one way to be saved. It's by faith. It's through Jesus. Jesus is the only way, right? And that's coming to God, God's way. So when we're teaching God's word to the people, we want them to know that they are in Adam. They are broken and tainted with sin. And all of us, without Christ, we're spiritually dead. We're helpless without God. One illustration we've heard missionaries give to different people groups is they'll cut off this branch from a nearby tree and they'll bring it in before the people. It's just freshly cut, and they'll hold it up And they'll say, is this branch dead or alive? It's dead, right? It's no longer connected to its life source. It still looks alive. It's still green. It's got all its branches. But then the missionary will put it up in a spot where everyone can see it. And throughout the weeks of teaching, people will see the branch and they'll see it wither. They'll see its leaves fall and it will look more and more dead. And it'll become real to them that that is like our condition. That's like our sin. Without God, we are dead. We're without our life source. We're spiritually helpless. There's a lot of different ways to explain that truth, that we are helpless without God. In Adam, we are stuck. We are lost. And there are a lot of themes in the Old Testament that tell us of our sinful state, but there are also themes of hope. Look back at verse 14 of Romans 5. It says at the end there, Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come. Adam was a figure of him that was to come. He was a type, a shadow of Christ. God alluded to this in Genesis 3:15 when he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So you guys just remember what took place here, right? Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They hide. God finds them. He pursues them. And he fills them in on what's going to happen now. He fills them in on the consequences and the curses that will happen to Adam, that are going to happen to Eve, that are going to happen to the serpent. In the middle of these curses, as he's talking to the serpent, he says, there's going to be this opposition between Eve's offspring and Satan's offspring. They're going to fight, but in the end, Eve's offspring is going to come out on top. He's going to conquer Satan. He's going to win. And this is our first glimpse of God's plan for a promised Redeemer. Immediately after the fall, God lets them in on his plan. And as you read through the Old Testament, you'll see this as another theme. God's promise of a deliverer. God reveals his plan a little bit more to Abraham and to his son Isaac and then to Jacob, later to David, that this promised deliverer will be one of their descendants. And if you read through the prophets and the Psalms, you'll see these prophecies that prophesy of this Messiah that's to come. And so all of the Old Testament saints, they're reading this and they're looking forward to the day when the Messiah will come. And that's a theme of hope. Romans tells us that Adam was a type of the one to come. Adam failed us, but Jesus redeemed us. Amen. Look at verse 15, Romans 5. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many may be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So what we have in Christ as our new leader, our new representative, is different from what we had in Adam. When we place our faith in what Jesus has done, we can receive this free gift, and it truly is free. In Adam, we're broken, we're lost in our sin. We deserve death. That's the fair judgment for all of us. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans is saying that if we got our wages, we would receive death. If salvation was dependent on us, if God handed us a paycheck and said, this is what you've earned, it would be death. That's what we deserve. Hell is our just reward for our sinful nature, for our disobedience. But thankfully, our salvation is not based on our works. It's a free gift. It's God's grace towards us. And we can be made right with God only because of God's grace and mercy. Of course, we're talking about the gospel. How Jesus, he was the one who came and crushed the head of the serpent. He was the promised deliverer. He was the one who came as the Messiah. He was our substitute, our sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself willingly. Willingly took God's wrath so we wouldn't have to. Sin always leads to death. And Jesus' death for us has given us eternal life. He died, he was buried, and then he rose again. And now he's ascended, he's at the Father's right hand, acting as our high priest. So for us, once we've placed our faith in Christ, once we've accepted this gospel, we're in. We're in Christ. So we have, God has moved us, he's made us new, and he's moved us, he's transferred us from the line of Adam into the line of Christ. Our sins are covered. Our branch that was cut off from the tree has been grafted back in. And we're receiving abundant life from God. So Jesus' work, it's not like Adam's work. Adam's act of disobedience brought sin and death to all of us. But Jesus' one act of obedience has brought life to all of us. Now look at verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For if the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So Adam's one sin brought condemnation to us. Jesus' free gift is enough to cover all of our sins, past, present, future, and we're justified. That's led to justification. That's like a judge saying in the courtroom and declaring that a criminal is declared free, declared innocent. And so we're declared righteous before God because of Christ. And that's why we meet together, right? That's why we're here. That's why we gather. We all have this in common. And we celebrate and we remember what God has done for us. And we want to remind each other of all that we have in Christ. And I hope these truths motivate us to want to share them with others who don't know about Christ's work on the cross. All right, our last verse from this passage, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So Adam's offense has caused death. It's caused death to have reign over us. Death has the final say for those who are in Adam. But for those who have received grace, those who have received this gift of righteousness, we have life. Life now reigns over us. Jesus' resurrection power is in us because Jesus defeated sin and death. Galatians 2:20 talks about this. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So for us, when we've placed our faith in Christ, we've been identified in his crucifixion, in his death. But we've also been identified in his resurrection. When he rose from the dead, His new life, when we became believers, his new life is inside of us. His spirit is inside each one of us. So we no longer live for ourselves. Sin's penalty and power over our lives is gone. We can say no to sin and experience freedom. We can experience rest and eternal life today. And one day the presence of sin will be gone as well, right? When we see Jesus, we will be like him. No more pain, no more sin, no more death. The reality of death and the curse that Adam brought on the world will be no more. That's the power of the gospel. That's how powerful Jesus' work was on the cross. So we are transferred from death to life. I hope this has encouraged you guys this morning. I have a few takeaways from this passage. First takeaway is this. If you have not received this free gift, you are still in Adam. I assume that we're all believers here today, but God knows, so I don't want to skip over this. The gospel is still good news today. Amen. And God wants a relationship with each one of us. And if for whatever reason you have put off the gospel, you have not believed in Jesus, then you're going to be punished for your sins. This eternal life that we talked about is only accessible for those who are in Christ. And God is ready and willing to forgive you, but you have to believe what God says. We have all broken God's law. We've broken it by cheating, stealing, lusting, lying, hating each other. And God's word says if we break one law, we're going to be held accountable for breaking all of it. God will judge you if you don't accept this gift. But because of his love and his grace, he offers this free salvation. So I want to plead with you guys, if you don't know Christ today, this morning, if you have not accepted him into your life, please talk to one of the elders. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to explain the gospel to you in more detail. Takeaway number two, if you are in Christ, you have so much to be grateful for, don't we? This Thanksgiving time, we're supposed to be thankful, right? This season. For those of us who are in Christ, we have so many reasons to be thankful. We have the biggest reason to be thankful. We have been brought into God's family. We are a child of God. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us. And now we have a purpose. We have belonging. We have all these spiritual blessings in Christ. So I hope that encourages you. I hope that stirs you to want to praise the Lord and thank Him for this wonderful gift of grace. Last takeaway. Takeaway number three. Believe that Christ's life has reign over you. This is so important in the Christian life. Understanding that God hasn't just saved us from the penalty of our sin, but He's also rescued us from the power of sin. God doesn't want you to just have eternal life when you get to heaven. Jesus talks about us experiencing the abundant life, the eternal life today, right now. And so we can walk freely in His grace when we understand His forgiveness, His acceptance, His mercy, His loving discipline. And so His Holy Spirit, it's inside of us. Those of us who are in Christ, He's given us His Spirit to guide us, to help us, and to use us for His purposes. So let's be willing to let His Spirit use us. We have been transferred from death to life. So let's walk in that. Let's pray. God, these truths are so powerful. I love reading through the book of Romans and just seeing the gospel laid out so clearly. And there's all these things that we are given in your Son, all for what He did. It's nothing that we brought to the table, Lord. It's all because of your grace, all because of your love. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that salvation is not dependent on us, but it's all you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting a relationship with us. And I pray that each of us here will be willing to be used by you for your purposes, whatever you have for us in this life. We know it's so short, and we know one day we're going to see you face to face, and we look forward to that day. And so now, in the meantime, Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to read your word, spend time with believers to be encouraged, and to go out to people around us, near our homes, at our workplace, our family members, and around the world to see more people reached with the good news of Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this. God, you're so good. You're so holy. And we are so privileged to be your children. And I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this church. I want to lift up all these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you would like to learn more about the Westside Baptist Church, please visit our website, www.BibleDirectionForLife.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you would like to hear new sermons and lessons each week. And remember that a sermon podcast is no substitute for picking up a Bible and reading it for yourself.